Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about something I've never talked to you about, because in a lot of ways, I don't like to talk about these kind of things, but I really felt like the Holy Spirit laid it upon my heart to share something with you, because as your pastor, I feel like I have a responsibility to talk to you and enlighten you, hopefully, not that I'm an expert, but enlighten you on some things that go on in our world, so that you'll know how to approach those things from a biblical standpoint. And we just came out of the season. Ted's been really, really busy because we just came out of the season of the Jewish celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's an amazing, awesome feast. It's a feast that celebrates things that God has already done, and it's a feast that's prophetic, that looks forward and celebrates things that God is going to do. And so today, I want to talk to you about a festival. I'm not going to talk to you about the Feast of Tabernacles, but I'm actually going to talk to you about something that is coming up. And I want to give you some information about what a Christian needs to know about Halloween. So in the first scripture we're going to read is in the book. Oh, that was funny. The book. Deuteronomy, chapter 18. We're going to read verses 9 through 13. The Lord says this. It says, when you enter the land the Lord your God's giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or, let's read the last one there, call forth the spirits of the dead. Okay. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you, but you must be blameless before the Lord your God. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, it says this. It says, what am I trying to say? Am I saying that food offered to idols has some significance or that idols are real gods? No, not at all. But what I am saying is that these sacrifices are offered to demons and not to God. And I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. And you cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What? Everybody say, what? What? Do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we're stronger than He is? You know, this is the first Sunday of October, and I got to be honest with you, October is my favorite month of the year, partly because of my birthday. It's in October, but primarily because I'm a Texan. And in October, the weather begins to change. And as a Texan, you just begin to move away from the heat of the summer, and you begin to move away into the nice, cool temperatures of the fall. And I know we've had a lot of heat here, but today is actually the last day of real hot temperatures. It's going to go down into the fall temperatures now and stay there. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise God. But we're quickly approaching the holiday season, which has caused for me to talk about what I'm going to talk about today. Now, most people don't know much about Halloween at all, other than what they have seen. You know, you see children going around the neighborhood dressed in costume, asking for candy or treats, and adults go to Halloween parties dressed in costume, participating in Halloween games like bobbing for apples and even reading tarot cards and stuff like that. You see people decorate their houses with Halloween decorations, carving jack-o'-lanterns and putting out witches and black cats and ghosts and spiders and goblins and all that other kind of stuff. But if you're really going to know, if you really are going to understand what's going on, then it would be best for us to start by looking at the historical origin of Halloween. Okay? Now, Halloween has ancient roots in history. Most of the traditions, everybody say most of them. Most of the things that we see practiced during Halloween go way back in time. First of all, let me just say this. Halloween is not the original name of the festival. The original name of the festival is Samhain. Everybody say Samhain. Samhain. Now, it doesn't look at all like that's how you would pronounce it. But Samhain. And basically, it's an old Celtic or Gaelic word. And some dispute and say that the festival itself might have actually been named after the Celtic Lord of Darkness during this festival. But Samhain is an ancient Celtic festival. The Celts lived about 2,000 years ago in what's now Ireland, the UK, and northern France. And the Celts celebrated their new year. We've got January 1st on the secular calendar. The Celts celebrated their new year on November the 1st. And to them, that day, November the 1st, marked the end of summer and the harvest and marked the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time which things were hard, a time in which many people passed away, a time of privation and difficulty. And the Celts believe that on the day before the new year, in the evening, because the Celts' day began in the evening, just like God created His day at the beginning to begin in the evening and the morning, the same way the Celts believe. And they believe that on the day before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became very blurred and very thin. And on the night of October 31st, the Celts would celebrate Samhain when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to the earth. And the Celts kind of feared these spirits. They kind of welcomed some of them. They feared some of them because they believed there were spirits of the dead that were going to return. But there could also be evil, bad spirits that could enter the world during this very thin time between the supernatural and the natural world. And so they feared things that could happen this night. So they'd bring crops and livestock and protect them and do some things with them. They feared what these spirits could do. But they also believed that on this night, that fortune-telling and foreseeing because of the presence of these spirits was at a powerful place like it wasn't the rest of the year. And so their priests, the Celtic priests, the Druids, would try to make predictions about the future on this night of October 31. Now, for a people that are entirely dependent on the volatile natural world, these prophecies were a source of comfort during a long, dark winter. Now, the Celts would offer these spirits food, drink, or portions from their crops to appease them. The Celts believed that during this time, some of the spirits of their relatives would revisit the homes, seeking hospitality. They would set a place at the table for dead relatives. They would put candles in the windows to help dead relatives, the spirits of dead relatives, find their way back home. They believed that all of these things happened on this night, so they prepared for the visits of these dead relatives. Can everybody say, scare your children? I mean, you know, hey, grandma's coming to visit tonight. Well, grandma's been dead for a long time. Well, she's coming back. Now, during Samhain, the Druids would build huge bonfires where the people would gather. And they used these bonfires for a couple of different reasons. One was is they were entering into the time of darkness, and so they would use these bonfires to hope that there would be a connection made in between the sun and the earth and that there would be more light during this time. And they also gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices in this fire. And during the festival, the Celts wore costumes. usually animal heads and skins. I'm sure that was a heck of a gathering. And they attempted to tell each other's fortunes. Now, Christianity eventually did come to Europe. And but in spite of that, these traditions continued. Throughout Ireland and Britain, household festivals and celebrations of this holiday would continue on October 31st, including games to foretell the future. Apples and nuts were often used. I don't mean people nuts, people. I mean apples and nuts, which is the fruit, were often used in these divination rituals. Fortune-telling regarding death and marriage was a huge thing. And apples were used as one of the tools to try to tell the future, along with some other things called scrying. Anybody ever hear about scrying, where you try to stare into a mirror and then all of a sudden your future mate appears, and as you see them in the mirror, they did all these type of things. And apple bobbing was one of these rituals. Single adults sometimes would bob for these apples, and then they'd peel the skin on the apple all in one long curl, and then they'd throw the skin over their shoulders and it'd land on the floor, and then the peel was believed to land in the shape of their future spouse's first name. Everybody's laughing, but this was serious to these people. Serious stuff. Now, as Christianity began to take hold in Europe, the Catholic Church began to see what was going on, and they began to make some decisions. And on May the 13th, 609 AD, Pope Boniface IV established the Catholic Feast of All Martyrs Day in the Western Church. So the Catholic Church could see that there were many people in Europe who were celebrating this day in which the dead were either coming back to life and revisiting, or which they were honoring the dead. So the Catholic Church created a holiday to play off of what was already going on, and they called it All Martyrs Day, in which those that had been martyred for the faith, the Catholic faith, were honored. And then later, Pope Gregory III expanded the festival to include all saints, not just the martyrs, and established the feast on November 1st. And when Christianity spread to Celtic land, it blended with these Celtic rites. And the Catholic Church created another holiday called All Souls Day to honor the dead, which was held on November the 2nd. And the creation of these holidays by the Catholic Church gave Halloween its name. Since Samhain was held the night before these festivals began, October the 31st became known to the Europeans as All Hallows' Eve, which eventually went through many pollutions and eventually became the festival that we know as Halloween. Now, another ritual became popular during this period of time in Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, and it's something called guising. Everybody say guising. Guising. Well, guising is a word that's actually a pollution of disguising. And it involved people going house to house in costume. And people impersonated the souls of the dead and received offerings of food on their behalf. It was also believed that disguising was a way to protect yourself from the evil spirits. They couldn't recognize you. Not much of a supernatural spirit if he was fooled by your costume. And after the advent of All Souls Day, the Catholic Church actually encouraged poor citizens to go house to house, where people were encouraged in those homes to bake something called soul cakes. And the people would go house to house, and those folks would give them these soul cakes in return for them praying for their dead relatives. And soon children began to pick up this ritual, and they began to go house to house, and they began to get these soul cakes, and and promised to pray for dead relatives. And this ritual was called souling. I'm going to souling tonight. Now, often, geysers on All Hallows' Eve would carry a hollowed-out turnip. Now, how you could get a turnip? Now, a turnip is pretty small, right? And how you could get in there and hollow out a turnip, that took some work. But often these geysers dressed up in these costumes would hollow out a turnip, and they would carve it with a gruesome face, and they'd put a candle inside of it. And this was believed to frighten away evil spirits as they walked around in the dark. And after Halloween became popular in North America, the ritual included a pumpkin, which was a lot bigger and a lot softer and easier to carve and was associated with harvest time. And what do we call those pumpkins? Jack-o'-lanterns. There was actually an Irish folklore story told that a man named Jack, who had lived a life of sin, made a deal with the devil to not go to hell, and the devil put a coal from the fires of hell in his hollowed out turnip, and it lit up there, and so down through history, the name Jack-o'-lantern took hold because of that. Now you say, well, this is all old stuff from a long time ago. Well, let me tell you, Anton LaVey, who was the founder of the Satanist Church in the United States, said that the three most important days on the satanic calendar were May 1st, October 31st, and the person who followed Satanism, their birthday. Those were the three most important days on the calendar, because May 1st was the celebration of the beginning of summer. May 31st was the fear of the end of summer, and the October 31st was the fear of the end of summer and the beginning of the darkness of the fall. And Anton LaVey also said in the Satanic Bible, he encouraged and rejoiced in the fact that Christian families, and was shocked by this, to be honest, but he was shocked at the fact that Christian families would allow their children to participate in Halloween. But he was excited about it, because he said at least one night in the year, these families opened themselves up to the darker side of things. And, unfortunately, satanic rituals are held on that night, sexual abuse of children, even sometimes sacrifice of animals. You could probably call down today to the Humane Society as you get close to October 31st and ask, do you guys have a black cat? I'd like to adopt it. They won't adopt them during this period of time, because people use them for these things. They'll sacrifice them. They use them. And the whole black cat thing came about because people believed that the black cats, that these demons could enter these black cats and their spirits could inhabit these black cats. And that's why they didn't want to be around them. That's why they were scared of them. And all of this goes on. And Wiccans, they try to tell the future and change the future on this day. And the reason is because they still believe that that boundary between the dead and the living is very, very thin on that day. Now, let's get off of that and get on something good. The celebration of Halloween was extremely limited in America for many, many years due to the strength of biblical beliefs. The Puritans, when they first came here, did not want to have anything to do with the festival. Okay? And for many, many, many years, Halloween was a very lightly celebrated thing. But in the second half of the 19th century, America was flooded with millions of immigrants, Irish immigrants and others, who were fleeing the potato famine in Ireland. And Halloween began to experience a new birth in America. Between 1920 and 1930, Halloween became a normal part of American culture. And kids began to really go out again and began, all over America, kids began to go out and take part in this festival. Now, for a short period of time in our lifetime, Ted, it kind of pulled back a little because people were putting things in candy, and it it kind of pulled back a little bit. But I noticed 2 years ago in my neighborhood, I had never seen so many trick-or-treaters in my life in my neighborhood, starting 2 or 3 years ago and now to this day. And when you watch TV, there are just tons of advertisements for Halloween things to adults and to children and about shows. And that's such an interesting revival, and you wonder why. Well, I'll tell you why. Because today, Americans spend an estimated $6 billion a year on Halloween, making it the country's second largest commercial holiday after Christmas. It's the second largest. And people have figured that out, and people in the commercial and the sales business and the beer business and all these other things have figured this out. And so they've all jumped on board, and it's being promoted like it never has before. And you say, Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because I'm telling you this because I want you to know that many of the traditions and most of the traditions that happen on October 31st are completely rooted in a religion that you do not follow. And not just a religion you do not follow, but a spirit that operates in complete opposition to your faith and is called by God Himself the adversary. Now, churches have, whether this is right or whether this is wrong, Ted, I don't know. The churches have tried to jump in and kind of take some of the stuff away from this and provided for people to come to these festivals and all of this other kind of stuff. And I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's wrong. I've struggled with that for many, many years. But I'm going to tell you what Capstone's going to do. We and the elders, we've talked about it. Now, this year, October 31st, is on Wednesday night, a night where we normally have service. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to meet here. And we are going to have some family fun for you. We're going to serve dinner. The money that you, if you come, you can buy dinner. The money that you pay for that dinner will go to help Mercy Heart buy gifts and support children who have incarcerated loved ones. We're going to have some games for the kids, but we're going to have praise and worship outside under the stars that night. And you know what we're going to celebrate? We're going to celebrate that this is the day that the Lord has made. Satan didn't create any day. He did not. Every one of these days have been created by God. And we're just going to get together. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a good time. We're going to worship our King, but there ain't going to be any costumes. There's not going to be any trick-or-treating. There's not going to be any bobbing for apples. And there's not going to be any of that other kind of stuff. Because we're just going to be here and get together as a family and worship our God. But from now on, the elders have talked about it. We're not doing trunk or treats. We're not doing any of that kind of stuff. Okay? Just because that's the way we feel like the Lord is directing us. If we can't do these things in good conscience, we're not going to do them. All right? Now, your children, let's talk about your children, then I'm done. Your children are curious by nature. Okay, so let's say you say, hey, I don't believe in all that. We're Christians. We got the power of God in us. No Spirit can overcome us. We can go do whatever we want to do, and we're going to be just fine. Well, let me tell you, your children are curious. And they're going to want to know what the origins and the roots of all this stuff is that you do. And if you don't talk to them about this, they'll go seek it out on their own. And you know, regardless of what we think, what we do does have an effect in what we associate with. Now, the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to finish with this, the Apostle Paul said, don't flip out about food. He said, if you're living in a secular society or a society where idolatry is practiced as a believer, and you go into someone's house that's not a believer and you're going to eat with them, he said, don't flip out about thinking about whether that food was offered to idols or not, whether you're going to defile yourself or not. He said, don't worry about that. He says, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He said, but if somebody there tells you this food was offered to idols, he said, don't eat it. He said, because it begins to violate the person's conscience who pointed that out. I mean, it's not something that they can do. And then the Apostle Paul went on to tell us that there are powers associated with things. And there are spirits at work behind things. Now, why in God's name, as people who have been raised from the dead, do you want to dress your child like a ghoul and send them around town? Why do you want to do that? What benefit spiritually is there out of that? So, well, it's just for fun. Well, come out here and have some fun with us that night. Just leave the costumes at home. Now, we may have some visitors that night. They may hear what's going on. They may walk up. Their kids may be in costume. But if they ain't saved, I don't expect that out of them. You understand what I'm saying? But brothers and sisters, we're believers. And you say, well, I don't want to not celebrate Halloween because then I got to answer the questions. Why do you guys not celebrate Halloween? You are a light in this world. You're a light. And your light shines before men. It shines before men. Some of the kids said, I'm going to stone him when all this is over. They're sitting out there. Hey, if you want candy, come Pastor Park. He'll buy you a bag of candy, okay? You know, if that's what this is about and you want candy, we'll get you some candy, okay? But there's more to it than that, all right? And I just felt like we'll have candy there that night. You won't have to do a trick-or-treat or dress up like a goblin to get some. But we'll just be handing it out and just for fun. Okay, but brothers and sisters, there are real things that happen on this night, and to the satanic side of things, this is not just an ordinary day. It has zero roots in our Bible. Zero. Okay, no roots in our religion. Catholic Church saw that there were people that were walking around celebrating and honoring the dead, and they just piggybacked right on top of it. But we're not going to do that. Okay? Let's celebrate our Savior. Let's celebrate life from the dead. Let's don't be afraid of spirits walking around. And let's certainly don't dress like them. You know? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for this day. And Lord, I submit that word to you and to the people that hear it. And Father, if I see them somewhere and their kids doing something, I'm not going to be angry at them. Because Lord, this is between them and you, not between me and them. And Father God, I just pray that you would speak to each and every one of us and give us the courage to follow you and to be able to just do what you say. And Lord, that to realize we are lights in our community. And we do stand out because our God lives in us. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.